We've all had things we need to make right. We've made a mistake or intentionally done something wrong, and we need to make it right. The same is true in a man's relationship with God. In this episode, we talk about how God has taken the initiative to make things right between God and a man. Thanks for listening to the Re-Up Men's Podcast with Tim Brown. I'm Brandon Porter. To learn more about Re-Up and the resources we've created to help you grow in your relationship with God, go to reuppodcast.com. Well, Tim, sometimes there are people that we come across that they have all kinds of skills and abilities, talents, and we tend to put a label on them to think, man, they'd be great at that, or I bet they could accomplish this. But there's got to be more to that than just kind of our assumption. Like somebody's got to have something to back that up. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I'm reminded of when my boys were little, I used to coach Little League baseball. And this one particular year, team, these guys were 9, 10-year-olds, I think. And first day of practice, you know, had about 15 of them just running around like, you know, they didn't know, have any idea what they were doing. And it was like herding cats or whatever. And so, we were getting ready to kind of get in more of a structured part of the practice. And I was going to start sending guys to positions. When you're 9 and 10 years old, I mean, sometimes some of these guys had never even played before.
Mm-hmm.
But I had this one little boy comes up to me immediately, and he says, I'm a shortstop. I said, really? I said, have you played shortstop before? Do you know what? No, but I'm a shortstop.
Okay.
I said, well, how do you know that? He said, well, my dad told me that I'm a shortstop, and that's where I should be playing, you know, uh-huh. I'm a shortstop. And so kind of to follow what you're saying, I mean, this little boy had been told he was something.
Yeah.
But come to find out, not to criticize the kid, I mean, he could barely, if you threw a ball to him 10 times, he might catch it once.
Yeah.
So he wound up being in right field.
Uh-oh. Somehow I knew that's where this was going.
But again, it just shows you that we can be told we're something.
Yeah.
But we might not be the person that can, as you said, have the skills or the abilities or what it takes to be that.
Yeah.
So, I'm always reminded of that little shortstop. It's funny. I still see him in town.
Yeah.
Run into him occasionally. And as soon as I see him, I remember that story. I want to walk up to him and say, you're a shortstop, but that would probably be a dig because he knew he wound up in right field. Yeah, so,
poor guy.
Yeah.
Well, the reason we talk about that is because in today's discussion, we want to think about righteousness and about being counted righteous, about being justified before God. And really this is a two-part series with episode 13, episode 14 of our podcast. So we're just beginning to lay a foundation for this. And we need to really think about the Old Testament foundation,
because that's
where Paul goes in Romans. He talk about being made right in Christ, he's got to do some connecting thousands of years ago into the Old Testament.
He, you know, if you understand much about Paul's writings and in the book of Romans, he really takes the first four chapters and kind of disproves some thoughts out there that really came from the Old Testament, some things that are not true today. And any kind of zeroes in on some particular groups of people, and then he kind of zeroes in on a particular person here.
Okay,
that we're going to talk about this morning from Romans 4. He talks about a man who was known as the father of the Jewish nation.
Yeah,
kind of the father of the faith. Abraham used to be Abram. Name got changed to Abraham, and when you read about Abraham, God declared Abraham righteous, and then told him he was going to build a great, and made a covenant with him, Abrahamic covenant, going to build a great nation through him, through his lineage. But Paul, the reason Paul does that is to try to prove his point that when we get into the next chapter, Romans chapter 5, he's going to say, well, therefore is how he opens Romans 5, which means basically everything I just talked about in the first, because of all that, therefore, here's a truth.
Yeah, it's all built on that.
Yeah, it's all built on that. Yeah. So he tries to really show us here that with Abraham that God declared Abraham righteous, and Abraham didn't do anything for that, mm-hmm. which Paul will use in the when he talks about the new covenant after Jesus. But he's kind of the stark contrast of being told something and then actually being something that we're going to see when we get to Romans 5.
Okay. So there's a pretty significant chunk here. It's about 12 verses in Romans chapter 4. And, you may be listening to this driving down the road and can't pull your Bible out. And so I know it's going to take just a minute, but I think it's helpful to hear this. All right. So let me read this for us. This is the ESV translation, Romans 4, 1 through 12. It says, "What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one whose works, his wages, are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had become circumcised? Was it not after, but before he was circumcised? He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who were not merely circumcised, but also who walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised." Okay. A lot happening there, Tim. A lot of words.
A lot of circumcised word. I'm sure guys are listening to this, either driving or sitting there squirming a little bit, because I don't know how many times the word uncircumcised, circumcision, or circumcised were used, but it's a lot.
It is.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. Oh, me. I'm just going to keep moving. That's right. All right. So, according to these verses then, Abraham's works, Abraham's faith was counted as righteousness. Help us understand that, because there's a lot of back and forth here in this passage.
Well, he was counted as righteousness because of his faith in God, not his works. But his works were coming from a point of faith, which obviously James talks a lot about over in his deal. That's a whole different topic.
Yeah.
But he was declared righteous because of his faith in God. And in the Old Testament, it would have been his faith in the seed that would come.
Yeah.
That Galatians 3:16 talks about, that Genesis 3:15, and that seed would be Christ.
That's right.
So he had a faith in the seed that would come. And for that reason, God counted him right, which righteousness means right standing with God.
Yeah.
And then his works came from that faith.
Yeah.
But the works were not why he was considered righteous.
Yeah. So you think about BC and AD, before Christ, after Christ.
Yeah.
Those in the BC days, they looked forward to Christ. We, on the other side of Christ's life, death, and resurrection, look back to Christ.
Right.
But the point of the whole Bible is to look to Jesus, to look to the Messiah,
that's
to the seed.
That's where the faith comes from. You know, it's interesting that when we get into Romans 5, that again we're going to see that word faith and nothing else is what makes you right with Jesus, who died for you so that you could become right. As 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, 2 Corinthians 5 throughout there, 14 through 21, But again, same thing here. Abraham was declared righteous because of his faith. And again, it's what you're saying. It's all about faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about Jesus.
Okay.
The person.
Okay. All right. So let's go back to the circumcision part. I was thinking about the podcast we've just done in the last few episodes about baptism.
Right.
And about that outward sign of something that has happened inwardly.
Right.
Do you see a connection then to this sign of circumcision in the Old Testament to believers' baptism in the New Testament?
Well, I mean, circumcision was, yeah, I mean, it was an outward sign
mm-hmm.
that you were part of God's family, chosen people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it obviously they circumcised all the boys when they were born, but it's just that, and again, we just, as we think forward, you know, we're so thankful for, when we talked about the Levitical system and the sacrificial system, we're so thankful now for the cross because we don't have to go through all that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so thankful for baptism now.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to do the circumcision deal.
Right, right.
So again, but they were kind of the same. They were an outward expression.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was definitely a connection there.
But God's desire through it all, really, isn't it, that his people would trust him, would live with him, would walk in faith, not just do religious activity, not just do what Leviticus says or what the Ten Commandments.
Right.
And that so often we flip-flop. I mean, even today we struggle with that, but we can look back to those Jewish ancestors and see they struggled with the same thing, with religious activity overshadowing this trust with God.
Yeah.
And that was not his, the sign of circumcision was not necessarily just to be a religious act.
Right.
It was a symbol of your relationship with Creator God, of walking by faith, of trust, reliance upon him.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting here, when we think about, I mean, I guess we would call Abraham is kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That as big a deal as he was and the way God used him and all that, it still was about just a very simple thing, which was faith, not works or whatever, not his qualifications. I mean, because we know, I mean, he wasn't perfect. I mean, he tells a few lies that are significant later on about his wife, and so on, puts himself in some situations. But so again, it to me, it just, so refreshing, the simplicity here of the person and the faith in the person is, and that's the deal.
Well, and I think, you know, so he does, and his lies are just based on the fact that he doesn't trust God.
Exactly.
He doesn't trust God in key situations with kings. I mean, he's, you know, it's understandable. It's high pressure situations, and he just doesn't trust God in those moments.
Yep.
But at the same time, man, there's another moment where he really trusts God when God calls him to sacrifice his son.
Yeah.
And so
sometimes I read that and go, is that the same guy?
I know.
It's amazing. It can't be the same guy.
Well, and it makes me think about what you say a lot of times, that really for the man of God who is trusting in God, who is living by the power of God, because of God's grace and his mercy and his kindness to it, there still is room to fail.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, because again, you look at that and go, that can't be the same guy.
Yeah.
But you can say that with David.
Yeah.
You can say that with Tim Brown. You can say that with Brandon Porter. I mean,
everybody except Jesus.
Everybody except Jesus. And so, the guy was declared righteous by faith, used the way he was, but yet he failed some.
Yeah.
Which again, what are we saying here? If you, still in that faith.
Yeah.
That's the deal in the person. It's okay to fail.
Yeah.
Because what you do is not who you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's very, and when we really learn that, which is our identity.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like God looking down at us going, hey, don't you know who you are?
Mm-hmm.
You're mine.
Yeah.
And it's okay to fail.
Yeah.
It's okay to fail.
And so ultimately, if we're going to live by his life, by Christ's life, then what does it mean to live by faith?
Wow. Yeah. In this instance, you know, we were dealing with Abraham. I mean, he was told to leave
mm-hmm.
where he was at. Didn't ask a lot of questions. went. Yeah, he messed up occasionally, but he sacrificed his own son.
Mm-hmm.
That's some faith.
Yeah.
And live by faith. So I think it, faith, I've heard this before, living by that faith is basically if you had a foggy bridge,
mm-hmm.
half of it was foggy, half of it wasn't, you're on the side that's not foggy. It's living in the fact that to really move forward, you gotta, it's like that, you know, as we're recording this, we had the bridge mm-hmm. in Baltimore
yeah.
fall this week. Well, those folks got to find a different route now
yeah.
to get. But so if that's, but you're on this foggy bridge and that's the only way you can get across, there is no other way. But you still just go ahead and walk through into that fog, not knowing what's over there. That's, to me, that's a great visual of living by faith.
Yeah.
And knowing who he is and who you are and who he is in you allows you to do that. So, I mean, we could go on and on about what is it to live by faith, but I think that's a good visual
yeah.
of just, and not worry about the details.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we knew the details, we wouldn't live by faith most of the time.
Yeah.
We'd try to manipulate them.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, the guys that did things on just very few words, the word go.
Yeah.
Come, Peter, come out of the boat. Well, I mean, lots of times guys just did things on one word.
Yeah.
And so, again, that to me, that's living by faith.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that Jesus says a number of times to his disciples after the resurrection, but before he ascends back into heaven, is that I will be with you always. Mm-hmm. There are a number of times he says that. And I think that comes to mind as you share that. It's so encouraging to know that as he calls us to cross that bridge into the fog, he's not saying, and I'll be on the other side. Good luck to you. Hope to see you there. It's that let's go and I'll go with you.
Go with you. Yeah, he's there. And, you know, so I think as we look here at Abraham and his faith, now at this point when he's declared righteous, obviously Abraham had done some things that were based on his faith, some of his works, but that wasn't why God declared him right. He declared him right because of his faith,
mm-hmm.
Not his works. And then how the works that come out of that faith. So again, back to relating this to men and our identity, when we know who we are and we learn to live by the life of another, that allows us to move into what we call the third truth at Re-Up, which is biblical man's third truth is he understands how to view life from God's perspective. So his moving forward and viewing things and looking at things now is done from God's perspective because of his faith that has developed, and it's also the Lord doing it through him. But it starts with faith. That's where it all comes from.
Re-Up is a personal adventure into intimacy with Jesus Christ. It's more than a program to get men into church. Creating intentional structures with constant encouragement and focus, Re-Up aims to help men grow as disciples of Jesus, educating men in the Father, encouraging them as they pursue the Father, and empowering them as they grow in the Father. Alongside other men, Re-Up helps create a culture of expectation and accountability that gives you a foundation for a true disciple-making ministry in your church. Learn more at reupmen.com.
Okay, Tim, there is that word in Romans 5 that you mentioned in the first half of the program. It's here, so we want to start into the second half, and that word is therefore. So the word therefore is there. So Romans 5, 1 through 11, so just like we read the other passage, let's jump in here and let me read that for us. Romans 5, 1 through 11 in the ESV says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. What a passage.
Wow. I mean, we could do 6 more months worth of episodes.
That's right. Just taking that one apart.
Taking that section of scripture alone. Yeah. It's so powerful.
Yeah. So let's just start with some questions about it. What does it mean to be justified?
Well, there's a lot of people come up with different definitions. In the study, I talk about how the definition of it is a process by which an individual is brought into an unmerited relationship with God. That's mm-hmm. actually the Holman's Bible Dictionary mm-hmm. definition of it. I've heard people say justified, meaning as though I'll never sin again.
Mm-hmm.
Which just blows my mind, mm-hmm. it'll never be counted against me.
Yeah.
And so it's just this standing,
yeah,
unmerited standing that I just am given. It's kind of like a guy walking a prisoner in jail, and they just walk by him and all of a sudden hand him a piece of paper that says you're free.
Yeah.
And give him the key. And he walks out.
Mm-hmm.
That's they're not, no explanation, whatever. Just, hey, you're free.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great way to look at that.
Yeah. It's that God sees us as if we have never sinned,
yep.
will never sin.
Yep.
And it's not just because he chooses to look the other way from that sin. It's because he looks to the cross.
Yeah.
And those sins are placed on Christ. Yeah. And Christ is that once for all sacrifice
yeah. Yeah.
for us.
Yeah.
And because of that, we not only do we receive forgiveness, but we have peace with God. That's what Paul says in this passage. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's think about that. What does that mean to have peace with God?
Well, it's interesting. I say to folks all the time, next to my salvation that the Lord gave me, probably the greatest gift after that is my peace
mm-hmm.
that I have from God.
Mm.
Now, this says peace with God in mm-hmm. this verse, so mm-hmm. Track with me here. But the only way I can have the peace of God
mm-hmm.
and lay my head down at night and sleep like a baby.
Yeah.
Which I'm convinced most people, if you gave them a choice, do you want more zeros to the right side in your bank account, or would you like to have true peace in your mm-hmm. life? I don't know. I think it'd be 50-50. Maybe mm-hmm. some would sway more towards the peace. For me, I know because I've experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have that peace.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way that can come from, the only way I can have the peace of God is to have peace with God.
Yeah.
And the only place peace with God can come from is through faith.
Yeah.
Through justification.
Yeah.
So here in this verse, and it's interesting, Paul in his writings, you read his writings, he uses grace and peace a lot, but he always connects them. You know, there's can't have peace without grace. Grace is where peace comes from, you know, all those things. So so this peace with God means, if you go on down and read, you're no longer an enemy. Because it says, while we were still sinners, while enemies, some versions use in verse 9, I think it is,
mm-hmm.
or 8, it uses 6, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
For while we were still enemies, sometimes yeah. it says at the right time Christ mm-hmm. died for them. God. But when you're an enemy, you make peace with them. And God, so because of being justified by faith,
yeah.
we're no longer an enemy. We have peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and rest comes with that.
Oh,
confidence comes with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Security. I yeah. mean, all of those things.
Yeah. Again, there's so much in this verse. Because down, you know, down to verse 10, I know verse 10, 5:10 was the man who discipled me, Bob. That was his life verse, and it was on front of his Bible and everything. And you know, if you read it, it says, "For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of this of His Son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life." Mm-hmm. And that again, knowing this. From this justification, being justified by faith, using the Holman's dictionary definition of it again, saying where I was brought into an unmerited, so basically you could say I was brought into an unmerited relationship with God by faith. Mm-hmm. I have peace with God.
Yeah.
And then you go on down to this verse 10, now I can be saved by His life that's in me, which means on a moment-by-moment basis, as He lives His life through me, I'm saved from the junk that's coming at me 100 miles an hour because He now can deal with it for me. Mm-hmm. And the only way I can have Him in me and have Him deal with that is through being justified by faith.
Thanks for listening to the Re-Up Men's Podcast with Tim Brown. Re-Up is here to help you live your life in Christ. You can learn about Re-Up's biblical resources at reuppodcast.com. Everything you need to get a group of guys to do life together and pursue the joy that can only be found in Christ is waiting for you at reuppodcast.com. We hope you're encouraged and motivated as you listen to this podcast. Please subscribe through your favorite platform. Your positive feedback helps us reach even more men. Thanks for listening to the Re-Up Men's Podcast with Tim Brown.